There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Here we go. A couple hours of live local talk. Love to have you along for the ride. Phone and text line 343-0106. Also, the fantastic talkback feature with the new FM Talk 106.5 app. I'm going to discuss that here in just a few minutes. And maybe how you could win some tickets, all right? Because you heard Dan and Dalton talk about those Buffett tickets this morning. I got another wrinkle in this I'm going to throw into the mix later on in this hour. All right, so that's on that. And by the way, so I mentioned at the end of Jeff's show that, you know, we now have five candidates running for Mobile mayor. And then I thought it was at least 20-something people running in the city council races. So many people, so many seats are being, people stepping down. So you got a lot of people running there, but people opposing candidates like at a level that I have not seen. I be frank with you, I don't remember when I've seen it like that. The number actually, Dalton came in and corrected me, wasn't 20, it was 27 in that. And by the way, you can go to the front page of fmtalk1065.com and head there. And then you'll see the tabs along the top. It says 2021 municipal elections. If you'll go in there and hit that tab, it'll break down the people that are running in the mayoral race, people running for all seven city council districts. And you'll see those in red where we have interviews with those. And we will have more additions to this as we go forward between now and August 24th. So if you want to go in and check out, you know, interviews when folks that are running in city council or for mayor have talked with us. They're all linked right there. Really great work, Dalton. So if you'll go to fmtalk1065.com and just click the tab for the 2021 municipal elections, it'll give you a clearinghouse where we gathered it up. What do they call that thing? The fancy curated. I don't curate anything, but I gather stuff up, and so does Dalton, and it's there on our website. So check it out, fmtalk1065.com. Just click the tab for 2021 municipal elections. And I'll say this because I guess the cat is out of the bag, or I heard the discussion during Jeff's show with Ashley Trice from Lanyap. Announcement's been made for the Nappy votes, and thank you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. All these years and great votes and the nominations, and to vote me as the number one talk show host here in Southwest Alabama, I sure appreciate that. And I mean, the competition's tough just here in our station. We have so many people on and so many great shows, and y'all saw fit to vote me as a top talk show host. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that. That does mean a lot to me, and I'll pay y'all off accordingly at some point. Maybe I'll do it right now with content, because it's my buddy Cameron Smith from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation joining us now to talk about vaccines and liberty. Man, it sounds like something I could sink my teeth into. Hey, Cameron.
Hey, Sean. It's exciting. And I'll tell you what one of my readers told me. You are decidedly not horrible. So congratulations on your nappy, man. I mean, those. I know folks down there love you, and I love you as a friend. But, I mean, the world that we're in and talking about some tough issues, I mean, it gets a lot of people going.
It does. And, you know, this subject that you you tackle, and people can check this out, of course, and we'll give you a link here over at AL.com. But this subject is one that it seems like if you watch cable news, they want to frame it as it's one or the other, right? You got to be one or the other. You've got to either deny there's even COVID out there and believe that it's, you know, it's all a hoax and it's all made up, or you have to believe in a draconian nanny state that's going to control every part of our lives. I think normal folks are somewhere in between those two poles.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that's shocking me right now is in a, and I've written about this and I've said this and I'll say it again and again, the goal of government and what we do together as society should be to maximize liberty in the context of an ordered society. So it's not Wild Wild West anarchy, but it's not Chinese communism either. It's a balance in there, and there's a lot of decisions that we can make. And when it comes to the vaccines, I have told people this. This is not hidden information. I am vaccinated. I have the Pfizer vaccinated, you know, vaccination and all that stuff. But that's a personal choice, right?
Yep.
I thought it was the right choice to make. I have friends who I love deeply who said, you know, this was an emergency use authorization. I don't feel comfortable, so I'm not going to do it. And you know what? They're free to do that. And I understand that bothers people by saying, well, the science is clear. The vaccine works. It will save everybody. Sure, I agree. I see a lot of that. But I also see people who say, I don't want to for whatever reason. And guess what? Some of those reasons, like being magnetized or Bill Gates watching you, are really, I mean, I got to be honest. I think those are stupid.
Yes.
But you know what? In liberty, the way it works is we make some decisions, and particularly when it comes to healthcare decisions. We say we want people to make reasonable decisions, but we're not going to make them. We're not going to force them to have a medical intervention, particularly for conservatives. We don't do that. And I understand while vaccinated people may not like that, but unless you're willing to jump that extra step and say, nope, you know, in this instance, we must require vaccinations by government force. And then my question is, well, okay, if we're going to use that, what other vaccinations get the same treatment? Mm-hmm. What other medical interventions get the same treatment? And that's a different discussion. So I understand people being frustrated with me saying there's no vaccine for individual liberty. But that's something that's really important to pretty much every American. Even I mentioned my colleagues, John Archibald and Kyle Whitmire, who one is scold shaming people into getting a vaccine. Others trying to get, I guess, Governor Ivey to shame her into going door to door, doing something like that. Ultimately, it comes down to let's make the argument that people should get the vaccine. That argument has been made. We've spent trillions of dollars developing this stuff, getting information out, combating misinformation. And guess what, guys? If you're getting your medical advice from cable news or social media, you should stop because that's dangerous and stupid. But if you're looking at the information that's out there and saying, hey, the CDC says this, the vaccine's good, I still don't feel comfortable taking it, I mean, you're going to live with the consequences or die with them. That's how it works.
Right. And I'll say very few people dying with them. Here comes the number one, my comment about your coworkers is somebody call Governor Ivey's office and let her know that she's going to be two votes short here. You know, that she was depending on the Archibald and Whitmire vote for her, the Republican governor, but looks like she won't be getting them. I think she'll still somehow find a way to put the votes together this next year.
She's going to struggle through. I think she really will. And I mean, this is the political dissonance that happens a lot is, you know, Whitmire and Archibald's perspective on this, you know, works great in Vermont where your vaccine rates are like 70%. I mean, you know, there's just different kinds of people. And on this one, again, and I want to be real clear to your audience, I think it's a good idea to get vaccinated, especially if you're an adult. It seems like the risk to upside in preventing this thing, and, you know, I want to keep businesses open, I want to keep schools open, seems like it makes a lot of sense. Everyone knows that. Everyone's heard that argument. There's literally no one who hasn't. Ads have run on your station, mm-hmm. television ads, social media ads. The one that surprises me is people say, well, it's really those Republicans that are seeding misinformation and opposing the vaccine. Which one? Is it President Donald Trump who's taking credit for making the vaccine and saying, who's personally vaccinated? Is it Kay Ivey, who's been begging people to get the vaccine? I mean, tell me the, like, serious Republican leaders who are driving this. No, it's just people are looking at it differently. A lot of the folks who happen to be Republicans look at this and say, you know what? I'm willing to accept the risk. Folks that are, you know, Democrats say, you know what? I'm not willing to accept the risk. And that's okay. That's the difference in decisions. And the idea that, well, really, it's just a lack of information right now. It's silly because everybody's heard the message. And if you're not willing to have government-mandated vaccines, the idea that I now need to bribe people with plane tickets or lottery tickets or, you know, Girl Scout cookies, I mean, that just seems silly. I mean, adults need to make decisions based on reasonable information, not on bribery.
Right. Okay. So, and you and I have not gotten to talk here in a while, so it's very funny. What you're saying now is very similar to, I guess, the 2 hours of my show yesterday saying those same things. I would say, if they want to take this money to incentivize, right, and do it, maybe they make it easier. Maybe there is some portion of folks out there, and I think they are, I think this is realistic, that probably would take it, and I put this out because we really haven't talked. Pretty much the majority of my close family, even outside of my roof, got the Delta variant of COVID since coming off of Independence Day, except for me, somehow. But I would go and get those daily tests, right, to see my status because, you know, around the kids, around the wife, all these things. Okay, so I get that test. I probably wouldn't have gone and gotten tested is often if I had to go into a facility, walk into a place, I'm like, everybody in there is sick or whatever. I worked with, in this case, I'm not promoting them over another, but I did the Walgreens thing where they'd set an appointment and I'd go through the drive-through, my brother, and they'd hand those swab out, and I'd just swab the inside of my nose, not the back of your brain thing. And I would do that, and I would do it regularly because a convenience angle. And I wondered if allocation of resources, instead of all this other stuff, maybe... I don't know. I did it flippantly yesterday and said maybe we have, have COVID vaccines delivered that same way through a drive-through, or maybe a delivery service like a pizza. Maybe if they want to put some energy, maybe there are people there that say, yeah, I'd get the vaccine, but you know, I don't want to go into this place. I don't want to go in that place. Maybe they do something like that. But beyond that, you're right. You're asking people to say, oh, well, you just don't know enough about the vaccine yet. Now you'll get it. People have heard about this. They know it's out there. It's easy to find.
Sean, you can trip and fall on a needle and get the COVID vaccine right now.
Right. I mean, but not delivery.
It is not hard. And, you know, for most Americans, shipping them needles is probably dangerous.
Yeah, probably
I mean,
right.
That said, I mean, yes, if we want to make it easier to access, that's fine. And I support that. And I support getting information. But again, we all like to say follow the science, but then we determine we are the holder of what the science is and everybody else is stupid. What we do know is that older populations are more vulnerable. We need to focus on that group first. And mm-hmm. we have. And guess what?
They're
That's
vaccinated.
Actually gone pretty well.
Yep.
We've saved a lot of lives that way because we know that. The kids are all right. I mean, I'm not suggesting in any way we shouldn't be at all concerned. Every parent should be concerned about their kids. But when you look at the raw numbers, you look at other comparable communicable diseases, where they are and the mortality rates for kids, it's analogous. It's mm-hmm. very, very close. And so if the answer is, well, we don't want kids getting the flu either, so now they need to wear masks in school. Okay. I mean, if that's a policy change we want to make. But the idea that, well, this is markedly more dangerous for children, I'm not talking about everybody else, but for healthy children, that this is markedly more dangerous, that is not borne out by the data from the American Academy of Pediatrics. You can look at it. I mean, the cumulative deaths that we're talking about over a year, from ages 0 to 20, from 40-some-odd states reporting for a year and 2 months, is 346.
Yeah.
For those families, that 346 really, really matters. In terms of likelihood that a child's going to die, it's very low. So my point is, focus on your older populations. Focus on your immunocompromised folks and folks with comorbidities, because we know that they're the ones that are the worst impacted. And then otherwise, we need to let people make their decisions and live with the consequences of doing so.
You mean liberty? You're talking about that liberty
yes.
thing. Okay.
It's wild, man.
It's a wild concept. We're coming right back. More with Cameron Smith from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. More of this conversation about this balance here that I think is the right one. As I said yesterday, and look up at my buddy Cameron, writing the same thing. We have no vaccine for individual liberty. Thank goodness, right? All right, be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along. And good to talk to my buddy Cameron Smith, AL.com, and the Triptych Foundation. So vaccines and liberty, right? Can you navigate this one? Cameron, you say you can. You can be somebody who promotes vaccines, but also believe in, I think my quote, one of the many I highlighted here, you said, yet your liberty is more important than their preferences or mine.
Yeah, I mean, and that's tough, right? Particularly for smart people who think they've got it right and their perspectives are right. The idea that someone would disagree with them, especially someone whose disagreement is based on stupidity. Because, frankly, that's the truth. Some people have really bad arguments as to why they're not taking a vaccine. And that's frustrating because free people just don't agree. They look at the same information, reach different conclusions, and that's uncomfortable. And the pushback that I've gotten, I mean, I've gotten a flood of emails from people saying, well, when your individual liberty impacts society, then you know, we can step in and we can tell you what to do. And I said, okay, let's talk about that. Should we have government mandated diets? Because we know that your decision to love cheeseburgers is bad for you.
That's right. And bad for society. A cost to society.
It's bad for society. You know what causes more damage every year than COVID? Mm. Heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it takes more lives. And it's not close. Speaking of taking lives, any tobacco products, any alcohol products, these are easily preventable diseases and issues that we could come in and say, we know what's best for you. There is an objective scientific consensus that any use of tobacco products is bad for you. So we can just ban it all. I mean, the truth is there's a lot of things that are individual decisions that do have a societal impact. And we have to decide, okay, are we going to intervene there? Or are we going to allow liberty? And that's a tough choice. And I get it. We're going to fall different ways on different things. But my point is, whatever choice you make, whatever conclusion you reach, what's the basis for that? And how do you apply it to other situations? And, you know, I use that with kids and mask mandates in school. I said, if I tell you, based on the data, that the mortality rate for kids is directly analogous to the flu, do we mask up because of the flu? And the answer is you could, right?
But we don't.
You could
right.
say, we haven't, but maybe we should. If we want to have that discussion, but let's compare where we are, right? I mean, and I think there's a lot of choices to be made here. There's a lot of discretion that has to be exercised. But I know as a matter of fact, the majority of Americans, even the ones in very liberal blue states, are not saying we must force a vaccine on all Americans. And I think if you're not there, then what you do is say you make the case for why you should take the vaccine and hope that people do what's reasonable.
You know, if just a minute here before the break, but if the administration had its way and banned the people from Facebook that they're trying to, you know, get shut down on all social media platforms, they said the purveyors of disinformation, let's say there was no disinformation, as the White House calls it, air quotes here, out there. There would still be a percentage of Americans that don't get vaccinated unless, like you said, you believe in mandating and forcing at the point of a gun to do that. Even if there wasn't, there are people who would say no.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of folks that, and this is a reasonable position I disagree with, right? People say this was made under an emergency youth authorization. I don't know the long-term effects. They haven't been studied, and I don't feel comfortable taking it. That is a reasonable adult mm-hmm. argument for why not. My thought is, you know what? They did a lot of trials, and there was a lot of scrutiny done, and it's worth the risk to me to take it. But I understand someone who falls on the other side, and that has nothing to do with misinformation. The idea that, oh man, everybody's reading wacko internet articles and that's what's happening, I just think it's patronizing to a lot of people who have made basically informed decisions not to get vaccinated.
Coming right back, more with Cameron Smith, AL.com, and the Triptych Foundation, right here on Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Yeah, I was thinking about this morning, listening to Dan and Dalton talk about tomorrow's giveaway for Win Them Before You Can Buy Them, Jimmy Buffett tickets coming in September to the Wharf. And they said they were taking the talkback, which is a feature. If you'll go to our app, if you have not downloaded it yet, go grab it. It's at Google Play for Android users. Or if you're an iPhone person, go to the App Store. And it's for free. Just type in FMTALK, number 1, number 0, number 6, number 5. Don't put a point between the 6 and 5. I don't know why it can't handle it, but it doesn't. So just don't put the decimal point in there. And then when you get our app, you'll see on the front screen, there's a microphone icon there. If you hit that, so and amongst all the different ways you can communicate with us, like the text line, the phone line, we also have the talkback feature where you hit the microphone, you can record a message and send it right to us, and we get those great messages. The guys this morning said, okay, for tomorrow's Win Them Before You Can Buy Them Jimmy Buffett tickets, you would use a talkback feature on the app to leave a 30-second message of why you should win the tickets. Okay, I'm going to add to this and probably confuse it and probably have Dan come back here and throw something at me in a second. But I think you should also add to this if you've got a Jimmy story, all right? Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you live in Mobile and Baldwin County, grew up here, if you don't have it, you know somebody's got a Jimmy Buffett story. Oh, the time, you know, I walked into Judges and he wasn't supposed to be there, but he was playing, or I saw him at the convenience store, or he had gone by to see his parents, or whatever it is, those kind of stories that are part of the fabric of living down here. If you've got your Jimmy story or can recount one, you know, with some credibility that you were told secondhand, use a talkback feature, leave that story and get yourself in the mix. If you have the best one, then you could win those tickets, win them before you buy them tickets for Jimmy Buffett. So once again, download the FM Talk 106.5 app and then use that talkback feature, that microphone icon, hit that and leave us a message. All right. And here's my pivot, or my, it's like a dovetail here. It's Cuban Cry of Passion, one of my favorite songs from Jimmy Buffett. And that's my setup to ask Cameron about his take on what's going on in Cuba right now. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. And as far as Jimmy Buffett, I mean, man, what an icon. And I sometimes describe myself as a Jimmy Buffett conservative. Like, come what may, but let's have some principles.
Yeah.
And when it comes to Cuba, I don't know if a lot of your listeners knew this, because it was such a flash in the pan in the media cycle. Last week, we had the largest anti-communist protest in the last 30 years in Cuba. And it was a big deal. They were chanting Libertad. I mean, this was not, we just don't like the conditions. It was, we just don't like the communists. And the regime arrested reporters, arrested dissidents, and then literally staged with state apparatchiks a counter-protest for defense of the revolution, which it's not a revolution. It's just communists now, right?
Yes.
And this is right in our back door. The Russians took note and said it would, and on their state mouthpiece media said, hey, it would be unwise for whoever did this to do this again. I mean, direct intimidation. This is something that should matter to us. Meanwhile, Black Lives Matter and Bernie Sanders blame the whole kerfluffle on American trade embargoes.
Yes.
And trade sanctions, and said, well, really, they're just mad about that, and it's caused economic hardship. Whoa. That economic hardship is real, but the idea that, and Black Lives Matter said this, that we're just upset because the Cuban people exercise their right to self-determination is hot garbage. The idea that the communist regime lets these people vote and decide on their future, that's where self-determination comes from. This regime is communist. It is an antithetical to individual liberty. And so the idea that it's worth defending by Black Lives Matter or anybody else is I mean, we should be up in arms and going after it. Even Joe Biden said communism is a failed idea and socialism is not a much better alternative. I mean, he sees it. And the idea that we're still playing footsie with this and we're just kind of going to gloss over it and not focus on, hey, we got communism at our back door. We've got groups in the United States that are supporting that communist regime. And meanwhile, we're not, you know, those of us who love liberty, who oppose communism, are not really doing enough to support these people in their home who don't want communism. I mean, come on, folks. We can't let this one slide.
Yeah, and I wonder, and you and I have talked about it, but and the audience knows as well, I have a very strong lean towards the liberty of the island of Cuba. Just by early upbringing and friends of mine, people I'm still friends with, that their family lost all to move to the United States. So, but how far do we go? Because I had a story yesterday that they were telling folks in Miami that were getting ready to do this, take supplies to Cuba and go in there, that they risked a $250,000 fine and 10 years in jail for doing it. I'm thinking about also the analogous, not enforcing the law on the border with Mexico, but going to enforce it here with people just taking supplies to Cuba. That's one thing that they're already hamstringing there. But how far? This is my problem. I get all fired up about it, but then I got to ask myself a critical question. How far would I let us go? I mean, how much involvement? I know the Chinese are involved there. The Russians are licking their chops, but do we put boots on? I mean, I don't know that I have, and I don't know the nation has appetite for that.
Well, there's a lot of things and a lot of capacities that the United States has in terms of getting information out, supporting communications network, helping get the stories of what is happening there out to a larger global audience and across the nation of Cuba. Getting creative in how you do that is something that I'm absolutely supportive of. The idea that, I mean, sure, the regime would love to take all political dissidents and put them in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, that's really, they're like, fine, go to America. We don't want you here. We want people who support the regime. But that's the wrong message. We need to say, we're going to support them where they are in any way necessary. The idea of boots on the ground, I understand the challenge is there. We, you know, provoking a global conflict with China or Russia over Cuba. But guess what? China and Russia are willing to have that conflict, right? They've been ready to have that conflict for 30 or 40 years. The only reason the Russians, then Soviets, got involved in Cuba was because of America. They said if America can purge the communists from Cuba, then we lose our foothold in South America. We lose our foothold in other areas around the globe, and that's bad for us. So they decided to engage there, and we've just had sort of weak moral leadership on Cuba for a long time. The embargoes and trade sanctions are fine, but the idea that this is sort of out of sight, out of mind, it's a bad policy, bad approach. We need to be, and I'm not saying the easy thing for particularly progressives to do is say, well, Cameron, you're basically voicing McCarthyism. Mm-hmm. No, McCarthyism was calling people who communists who were not. It was using that for political gain. What I'm saying here is we need to oppose a communist worldview. We need to go toe-to-toe with those regimes. We need to use our technological capacities. And we need to make it really, really hard for them to oppress people. And if Joe Biden can see, hey, this is a regime that's failed and is oppressing its people, we should be for liberty, and we should do what we can to help them. That doesn't mean we need to invade Cuba, but, man, we should give those revolutionaries, the real ones, the support they need.
Yeah, and those folks that were on the streets in all over Cuba, you talk about we'll keep it Spanish, the cojones, to do that, because you think about the states, you're like, oh, people were protesting and this and that happened, or, you know, it was bad. People get disappeared in Cuba still that were on the streets, not just knocked in the head. People get disappeared.
Yeah, the Human Rights Watch has pointed this out. This is a full authoritarian regime. The idea that this is, you know, self-determination and warm fuzzies is a lie. This regime does not mess around. They control all the media. They control everything. It is full-on communism, really close to American soil. And we need to, you know, here's the thing. And I understand the America First agenda. I understand the people that want to be isolationist and say, you know, that's their problem. No, It's our problem at our back door. And what happened with Cuba, people just need to look at history. The Castro regime seeded communism throughout South America and Angola. I mean, they were moving their ideas all over the place. They were trying to say, hey, we want to grow our worldview. And in America, we need to do the same. You know, self-governed capitalism is a winner. It has really done a lot of awesome things in the world. And we need to be exporting that. We need to be doing that. And I understand people get squeamish about it, but guess what? The Chinese and Russians aren't.
Yeah, I know they're not. But at the same time, and once again, I want to say yes to everything you're saying, but I have to be fair about this and say the Chinese and Russians aren't. But does that mean we should? We should. I mean, we don't want to be like them. Right. We don't want to. And at the same time, on the flip side of that coin, I look at it and go, the amount of blood of Americans that has been expended and of course, treasure from the coffers expended in places like Afghanistan and Iraq that I truly don't believe want liberty. They don't understand it the same way the Cuban people do. You do look at that. And if you say, OK, well, our policy was to go to try to do this, whatever we called it, we're trying to make these folks embrace democracy and love freedom in these far flung regions. But we're not going to do it when it's 90 miles off the coast of Key West there. So I don't know. I'm torn.
Well, there's also practical realities. You know, I don't support going into a country that didn't ask us to be there, mm-hmm. to, you know, have American soldiers just languish over time. I mean, pulling out of Afghanistan, I mean, good grief. I mean, this feels almost Vietnamish.
Yeah.
In terms of we didn't have clarity. We didn't have purpose for a long time, you know. But on the flip side of that, saying I don't like that stuff, I can absolutely say we cannot be morally ambiguous on things like communism. It is evil, and hundreds of millions of people in the globe across history have died because of it. It is a worldview that's antithetical to ours, and we're competing for the future. This is not a... oh, yeah, we just have different philosophies. And so, you know, there's no need to engage because it's just a difference in philosophy. No, it's not. It's domination versus liberty. It's control versus freedom. I mean, that's what we're talking about. And it's not morally ambiguous. And there's no, this isn't a, well, there's good people on both sides. It's we disagree with this perspective and those regimes. There are absolutely people that live in those countries that we should support and care about, but the regimes themselves are problematic, and we need to acknowledge that and not be, you know, hollow-chested and weak-spined about our approach to something like communism. The fact that I have to tell people communism is evil and we should oppose it, I mean, that should not be a controversial statement in America.
Well said. Cameron Smith, AL.com and the Triptych Foundation. People want to find you online. Of course, they can go to AL.com. Which other ways do people find your work?
Find me at D. Cameron Smith on Twitter. That's a great place to join the conversation. AL.com/opinion. You can see my stuff on the Gannett Network, across the USA Today Network as well. So just Google Cameron Smith, and I am always the really good-looking one you find.
We're going to rewrite the song. He's good and nationwide. Not bad and nationwide. He's good and nationwide. There he is, Cameron Smith. Thank you, man.
Thank you, John.
Coming right back, Board of Midday Mobile. Grab some calls and texts next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1252 FM Talk 106.5. So, Midday Mobile. Hey, coming up next hour, Dale Leash and I are going to talk about a couple things, but the qualifying is over now in the Mobile municipal elections. 5 running for mayor and 27 in the city council cycle. Wow. By the way, we'll talk more in a second, too. We got those listed on our website. Right now, I want to check in with the president over at LCM Motor Cars, my buddy Larry Kirby, and let's check out the inventory report today. Hey, Larry.
Hey, Sean. It's great. As we talked about Monday, we got a lot of good inventory. We got them coming in daily, so we got a great selection. You know, we got the kind of stuff that the lenders really like. You know, we got low mileage, a lot of one-owner trade-ins. We got trucks, cars, SUVs. like I said, we managed to get a deal the other day on a 2018 Sierra, and the credit union went 84 months.
Wow. Wow. And that comes from the fact that you got a lot of selections. You're not just, like, dealing with one lender.
Oh, no. We got multiple credit unions. You know, we got major lenders. We got lenders all over the Southeast. So we got a great selection of lenders.
It's obviously working because I drive a vehicle from LCM, and about once a day I'm at a stoplight, and it's like three people there with the LCM sticker on their vehicle. So people are picking up that message. Tell them how to come find you.
Come see us at Highway 90 and Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM Motor Cars. All right, get to some of these texts, too, and calls, and somebody asking about my Buffett suggestion. Listen, you know, I'm probably in trouble right now with Dan and Dalton, but I'm going to say that if they don't accept those for tomorrow's Win 'Em Before You Can Buy 'Em ticket giveaway, they got to on Friday, your Jimmy story, right? Your Jimmy Buffett story. It seems like that's a part of, if you don't have one yourself, you've heard a good one or know somebody has a good one. So if you use the app, the FM Talk 106.5 app, which is free for you right now, Google Play or the App Store, you go download it, just FM, T-A-L-K, number one, number zero, number six, number five. Download that app, and when it's loaded there, of course, you'll hear the fact that the streaming is there. You can also listen to 55 hours a week of programming coming from our studios here at Airport 965. I mean, local. Those podcasts available for you there are great social media feeds with news and information on there, plus all the latest traffic and weather information on the app. That's all in one place. This is like it's like a digital Swiss Army knife. But also, you'll see the microphone icon on that front screen. If you mash that, it'll give you the ability to record a message to send to us. We call it a talkback. And you can send that to us. And in this case, if you're trying to, you know, position to win those tickets before you can buy them for Jimmy Buffett at the Wharf, tickets go on sale on Friday at 10 a.m. Just give us your best Jimmy story. You know, usually I'll start off with, like, I walked into Judge Roy Bean's when, or I was, you know, in the park in Fairhope when. You know the story, so I'll leave those there. And the best one of those probably win you some tickets to go see Jimmy. So good luck on that. All right. Yes, unnamed texter said, I guess when we're, oh, no, that was from Jace. When we're talking about the reports there that the Cuban folks were chanting liberty. I said an American media promptly called out the chants of liberty as being anti-government. Well said. It's a tough place, this Cuba thing. You heard me talk about it last week with Francis Martel. I talked about it quite a bit on the show last week. It's like I know where my proclivities are, but I have to balance those. So I want freedom for the people in Cuba so bad. I want it for them themselves as much maybe as, you know, the strategy for the United States. Like, I want it for two reasons. I want it for those people. I know so many folks that lost, you know, everything when they moved to the States. And amazingly, how many of them rebuilt their lives here in the United States. It was just that's a whole nother story. Whole nother story that I don't think it's told. Maybe it's told somewhere. I just haven't seen it. And I knew it just from the people I was around in South Florida that left everything behind in Cuba and then did it again in South Florida, in Dade County and Broward County. It just rebuilt their lives. It's just amazing. And people here, folks in the Mobile area, and I know a couple people out in the New Orleans area, Cubans that have moved there, that rebuilt as Americans. Really, it's good stories to hear. It helps you get up in the morning and realize you can do it. But on the flip side of that coin, how much involvement, and I got to watch that, because how much involvement do we want to get into in Cuba? I mean, you could say, and I could make this argument that folks would say, didn't we learn our lessons with Afghanistan and Iraq? And I would hear that. I would also do another sidebar and say, yes, but those nations and are not the same as Cuba in proximity and in desire for freedom. They're not the same. But what kind of appetite do I have for the United States to get into a hot situation with China or Russia or the Cuban government right now? It's low. It's very low. You know, I look at the faces of my friends, think about them in my head right now, that have fought our wars over the last decades. I don't want to send, I don't want to go to war. But what do you do? Where's the in-between? What's the right choice in that? It's a tough decision. I don't think it's just cut and dry like that. Of course, what Cameron said shouldn't be shocking. Communism is bad. Although, in today's world, maybe saying something like that will mark me as a heretic. Y'all, it ain't the first time I've been marked as a heretic. Unnamed texter says, so when I was in public school years ago, we had a semester that taught communism, even had a book. Do they even teach that anymore? Huh? I don't know. I hadn't seen it in my kids' books yet, but I can't speak for everybody. Hour number two, Midday Mobile, straight ahead.